right. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to continue through the next few verses. We've been really just taking our time working through this chapter over the past month or so. And this morning, where we're headed is we are headed towards taking communion together. And so sort of how we just want to direct our thoughts in that way. As we continue through this, we all know the truth is that what things that we see and really has a big part as to the direction that we go in our lives. I was thinking a few weeks ago, I was out with Nathan, and he's still working on getting better at riding a bike, and just hasn't been as easy as for the others to get that down. And while we were on vacation, I'd be running next to him because he's about that speed right now, and so I can keep up with him while I'm not on wheels like him. And he's like really wobbly, and he likes to look at me and look around everywhere else, and that's not good. You know, but you know, I keep telling him, you gotta look where you're going, and sure enough, over he goes, and it's not good. And that's the end of bike riding. And so where are we now? And we know this in a lot of life. The things that grab our attention, there's so many things that can get our attention. This morning, Nani comes up, he's like, after they're playing guitar, it's not like he's playing guitar a lot these days. And he's like, man, I got this humongous blister on his finger from playing today. That was hilarious. But that's what's getting your attention, right? The things that hurt, the things that you see, there's all these other things that can get your attention. Rather than maybe the thing that really needs to get our attention. And in our society these days, there's a lot of things, especially, that can get our attention whenever there's one needful thing, and that is Jesus. And so that's sort of the idea of what we want to do this morning. We want to, like, turn our eyes to Jesus and focus on him. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. We know the journey that we've been on. He's writing to Paul is raised his dear son in the faith, who is discouraged and wants to encourage him to keep on going, to keep sharing the gospel, to help him people find and follow after Jesus, and to help those people, because he knows that those people, as he pours into them, that they're going to go and that they're going to share the gospel with others also. And so here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we come down to verse 8, and here's what he says after talking to him and encouraging him to keep on being a good soldier, a disciplined athlete, a hardworking farmer, all of these things. And he says this in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. He said, here's the motivation. It's because of our Savior, our God, who loved us more than we know and stronger than anything, even death. He says, you see this cross? Don't forget it. Don't forget it, but remember all that has happened. Remember that he died. Remember that he's alive. Remember that he's greater. That here, while I may be in prison and I'm bound, know this, that the word of God is not. It's unstoppable. And so this morning, to help us just to be reminded as we celebrate and we participate and we partake of the Lord's Supper together, I want us to remember and be reminded that the love that our God has for us. And so we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. We just want to jump over there because it's a familiar passage, is what we say, and we are reminded of every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. So I just want to talk through that a little bit. But it's a holiday weekend, and there are all kinds of freedoms that we celebrate as here in our country, in a variety of ways. But this morning, the most important thing that we need to celebrate, the best news that we get to celebrate and remember, is not only that is our God powerful, not only is he faithful, not only does he hear our cries, not only does he heal, but the best news is that even though every one of us have been wayward children, he's a God who doesn't give us what we deserve, but he is a God who gives grace. He is a God who forgives. He is a God who gives light, who brings hope and peace to all who will turn and trust in him. What is Romans 6:23. What does Romans 6:23 say? That we all deserve. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death is what we all deserve and what we're all going to get without Christ, but it is a gift of God and nothing less than that that we get whenever we turn to Him in repentance and faith. He doesn't give us what we deserve, but instead He raises dead people back to life. And so we see the power of God in our everyday lives. We've seen the unimaginable happen in our church and in our communities for the good, our families and beyond. But there is no greater miracle than what He does whenever He takes those who are spiritually dead and He gives them life. And so this morning, that's what we've come to celebrate and what we want to proclaim. And we want to let the grace and mercy of our God shown to us through Jesus Christ be known as we gather and as we partake of communion together today. And so let's read here 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. Paul writes this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So church, today, here's what we want to celebrate and here's what we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate what Jesus did. For the Christian, our celebration of the Lord's Supper takes place because of something that really happened, of something that Jesus did. The Son of God died on the cross on our behalf. The Christian faith is rooted in the historical fact in that a real man in a real place in a certain time in history died on a cross. Communion for us, it's a memorial, it's a reminder of Jesus' death on the cross, and as we come to celebrate our Savior's death on the cross, and we do it in remembrance of Him, and we do it to proclaim the Lord's death. But not only do we celebrate because of something that Jesus did, but we do it because of what Jesus accomplished, because of what has been accomplished by what He did. For the Christian, we celebrate with gratitude and joy all that has been accomplished on the cross on our behalf because it means something for the person who is following after Jesus. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, as John 3:16 tells, that there is eternal life. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so we celebrate because there is eternal life that we get to experience and enjoy. Because there is freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, tells us that for freedom Christ has set us free. And so stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we have a Savior who knows our grief, our sorrows. This past week, in a conversation, we were talking about this idea that Jesus is 100% human. He's 100% divine. He's 100% God. 100% both ways. It's not like He was 50-50. He was wholly there, which means that He is like, you just think about that. And what He experienced on that cross, He didn't just experience it, sort of, but He fully experienced the pain and the suffering. Not only, I mean, He was fully God who came and He laid down His life. And so when you read Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it's because He died, that we have a Savior who knows our grief. He knows our sorrows. He knows what we're going through. And what did He do? But He brought us peace, and through the cross we are healed. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 tell us that He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. He knows what we are going through, even in the hardest of times. He knows our greatest needs. We are all spiritually sick and hopeless. And what does He do? But because of what? Of the cross and the good news of the gospel, He heals us. We are rescued, redeemed, and forgiven. Colossians 1:13 tells us that he delivered us from the domain of darkness and brought us into and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And we needed forgiveness. And because of the cross, we celebrate, not because he just, because someone died, but because of what it accomplished. John Stott once said this. He said, before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. Before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. We need forgiveness. And we just be reminded it is our sin that he is paying for the price for. And he paid the punishment once and for all of our sins. It's done. You know, the old sacrificial system that we read about in the Old Testament where the priest is just going and they're making these sacrifices time and time and time again. And here we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12 is saying that no more. And we're not doing that anymore, are we? And it's because Jesus paid the price once and for all. It says this in Hebrews 10, 11, 12. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Because there, you see that the work is done. One person wrote of it this way, reflecting on Jesus' death on the cross. Said this, what could possibly be more amazing? And what great reason can there be for you and me at this very moment to praise and thank him? The personal desolation Christ is experiencing on the cross is what you and I should be experiencing. But Jesus is bearing it. And he's bearing it all alone. Why alone? He's alone so that we might never be alone. He cries out to God, why have you forsaken me? So that you and I will never have to make a similar cry. He was cut off from his Father so that we can boldly say, nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He's forsaken so that we might be forgiven. And so these are just only a few of the things that were accomplished through our Savior's death. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says this, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. And so we celebrate today and we partake of communion together. Not only because we remember an event, but we are reminded of all that was accomplished and made possible through his death on the cross. How his body was broken for us, how his blood was poured out for us. And we celebrate with joy because this gospel is the power of God for salvation to all of those who believe. We celebrate because we are sharing in and enjoying the benefits of what happened at the cross. And we celebrate because the best is yet to come. Verse 26 says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. See the last few words of that? Until he comes. We celebrate because the best is yet to come. He's going to return in power and in victory. We celebrate because we look forward to the day whenever there's not going to be any more disease, there's not going to be any more sickness, there's not going to be any more pain, you know, tears, no more struggle, no more mourning. Because the day is coming whenever he said he's going to make all things new again, and we look forward to that day. So if we go back to 2 Timothy 2, and that text where we've been hanging out, remember what Paul said in verse 8? He said this. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Remember how God keeps his promises. Remember how he loves. Remember his power. Remember how he didn't stay afar off. Remember how he came and how he continues to lavish his love upon us. Remember that? Such amazing love. And that's his motivation. Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, what's the motivation? What's his drive him to do? He says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, whenever I remember everything that my Savior has done for me and all that I get to enjoy and experience in my life, here's what I do. Because of that, I'm going to endure everything. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to give it all as I rely on the grace that he gives me so that I can keep on going and so that I can be faithful on the mission, on the work that he gives me to pour into others and to share the gospel with others. So that they can know that there is a God who is good, so that they can know that there is a God who loves them and cares for them. There is a God who saves sinners through the grace of his Son. He continues and he keeps writing in verse 11, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. And if we endure, we will also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He's a faithful God, and we can trust him in his purposes. And so we have nothing to fear. So I don't know what you might be going through this morning, but remembering these truths changes everything in our lives, in every single way. When we remember this, we have nothing to fear. It doesn't mean that life is easier, that hardship isn't going to come, or that we have everything figured out. But it does mean that he is with me through it all. It does mean that I can trust him. It does mean that he cares for me. It does mean that he is able to supply every single one of my needs. It's because of his strength, as we started this passage out in verse 1, that we are able to continue on by the strength that he provides by his grace. It does mean that in all of my life, in every single area, that I want him to be glorified. That's what I want us to see. That's what I want us to remember this morning. Because I want us to turn our eyes to Jesus. It's so easy for eyes and our hearts to go different ways. But may we turn our eyes to him. As we face today, as we face tomorrow, what difference will it make and does it make for you to remember your Heavenly Father's grace in your life? In light of the good news and the gospel, like, who are you going to tell? Who are you going to share this good news with? So here, just to consider this and to turn our eyes. I'm going to sing a song here. I'm going to need it. And